Great. Yeah. So we're back here at RMPA on a sort of live podcast session, and we're here with Dr. Rachel Lamb and Stephanie Johnson to talk about the effect of tattoos on well-being. So we're gonna start with introductions. We'll let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll kind of get right into the research.
Okay, Rachel, go first. Rachel.
Yeah, go ahead, Stephanie. Let me let you go first.
Okay, fine. So my name is Stephanie Johnson. I studied psychology at Weber State in Ogden, Utah. I graduated just last December, so yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm taking a little bit of a break. But on top of that, I've also been tattooing almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years this December, so that's pretty exciting.
Cool.
So that's me.
Are you planning on going to grad school?
Yes, I am planning on going to grad school.
Excellent.
But which direction I'll go in, I have no idea.
Right on.
My name is Rachel Lamb, and I am now teaching faculty at Weber State University. I was in full-time research for about 5 years in Arizona, in Singapore, and in Switzerland. So my area is generally in learning and cognition. I actually love teaching and mentoring a lot more than I like doing my own research. So I am happy to be at Weber. Stephanie was a student in my research methods class that I just was really impressed with how she was thinking about what she wanted to do. And she had such a strong sense of how she could incorporate this part of her life as a tattoo artist into, you know, researching and looking at how the actual act of tattooing or, you know, body modification, things along those lines, could impact mental health. And of course, as we worked together, Stephanie went through my class, became one of my independent research students, which is part of the, you know, what she's presenting at the conference this week. Found some really cool stuff. Like our hypothesis was to, you know, that something about this actual act of being kind of in the process of enduring a tattoo or a body modification, it actually being in a physically painful process, there's something about that that has an effect, a positive effect on well-being. So we looked at specifically kind of emotional states sort of in the moment, pre and post. And I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled for her to keep going and to get into grad school and to continue this work, because I think it's awesome. And I think it's really a niche area that not a lot has been done on in this particular way.
Very cool. Stephanie, would you like to walk us through the process of the research? So
yeah. So basically, like Rachel said, we did a pre and post survey. And in that survey, there were 20 emotions in which they could rank from 1 to 5. 1 being like, I'm not feeling this at all. And 5 being, I'm feeling this a lot. And then these 20 like subcategories were all filtered into 4 main emotions. So we had like joy, fear, sadness, and anger. Was it anger? I believe. No, joy, and I have to look at my notes and I don't have them. So we gave them identical surveys. So they would go in, fill it out, and then immediately after the tattoo, they would do the same survey. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to find that not only did we have multiple areas of significance, there was actually a significant factor that we weren't looking at or even considered, and it was a difference in how men and women expressed joy in particular, that women had a higher, like an increased feeling of joy after a tattoo rather than the men, which was interesting for us, which is funny in comparison to our pilot study that I didn't talk about in my talk. We had a significant difference with how men perceived themselves after a tattoo, which is something we could go into and something that you actually had asked me about.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you that now because I said I'll wait. And so what I had asked was my partner, I was telling her about this research and some of the interviews that we were doing, and she got really excited because she has several tattoos, and I said that I'm too afraid to get a tattoo. Me and Needles don't get along. But she said that afterwards, one of the things that she experienced was this kind of heightened sense of empowerment. And so I had this kind of question looking at your results as to whether or not maybe some of that difference was from the men. Maybe it's, while still potentially stigmatized, it's not as stigmatized as women getting tattoos. And so by kind of going through that act, there's that further sense of empowerment for women, which would increase that post-tattoo joy, as opposed to the men who may not, it may be muted in that way because it's like, yeah, I can get a tattoo, like whatever, I'm going to go about my life.
So the way I'm going to answer this question is actually kind of opposite than I think how you're expecting it to be answered.
That's great.
And I could be wrong, and Rachel could jump in and be like,
No, I would love to respond as well. Yeah, I would love to respond, and I want to let you talk first, Stephanie.
So in the 10 years I've been doing tattoos, and I'm going to mention that a lot because I've learned so much over these 10 years. It's impacted my entire life. I found that in Western culture, I feel like there's no space for men to become men. So what I have found is, like, for women, and, like, I don't know what we can say on this podcast, but for women.
Whatever you,
like,
want.
Whatever you
okay,
want.
Okay, so, like, women, you're a girl, and then you have your period, and now you're a woman. Okay, so there's, like, our cutoff date. We're a woman now, and we know all the implications that comes with that. Mm-hmm. But for men, I don't think there is one, mm-hmm. specifically in Western culture. And so it's something that, like, I think they kind of, men in particular, kind of, are more relaxed about getting a tattoo because they think it's something that it's just like something that people do. But so many men that I've seen have used this from a transition of like, this was a really hard point in my life and I'm now becoming a man.
Mm. It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, so it's a rite of passage for them, at least from what I've experienced. So it's something that I think maybe doing another study on in that area, I would love to do because I don't have a ton of male clients. My work is very feminine. You know, it's not super masculine, but I work alongside with male artists that have a lot of male clients. So I would love to study their clients and be like, okay, like, what is this for you? What is this meaning for you? And a lot of the men that I talk to, they do come in during really, really hard points in their life. And so it's interesting, like, you know, with the women having more joy, I don't see that as much being like a factor in which they're getting tattooed. So maybe they're able to express that joy more freely. And it could just be like men have a hard time expressing their emotions. And it's really hard. It was so hard to get men to be like, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, there's so many factors we can look into it. But I do think that in our culture and, you know, Western society, we don't really have like a cutoff point and we don't have anything to celebrate what it is to be a man or it is to like celebrate manhood as we do women. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, that there's that like kind of shared sense of identity becomes very nebulous when mm-hmm. you don't have, again, that like culturally defined
yeah.
event and that moves you into that.
And it's interesting because it's for women, it's so physical.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, men bulk up, they get taller, all that stuff, but so do women, you know.
Right.
We bulk up, we get taller, but we also have, like, more pronounced physical changes, plus one that's like, oh, this is like, mm-hmm. you know, I am now capable of reproducing. And in society, that's something that's really, like, oh, this is important. Mm-hmm. You're now a woman, you need to protect yourself, you know. And for men, there's just, I am so hurt for men because I feel like that's been robbed of them. From this transition to boyhood to manhood.
Hmm.
What do you think on it, Rachel?
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good stuff. Actually, I can comment and kind of maybe tie in together all of what was said here. So I can see certainly what you're saying, Stephanie, especially maybe in the last 30 years, the role of a man is changing in society. And there's certainly, you know, there's the whole movement of feminism and things has brought, you know, it's still not equal. I hope we all know that, but it's brought women kind of more into power positions. It's brought more women into leadership. So when you talk about kind of men not really having that rite of passage, like women have such a natural sort of rite of passage, even in Western society, men don't really have that. So part of me wonders, just the mutedness of their emotional states changing might be a thing. If you're, you know, kind of coming to get a tattoo, and Stephanie have and I have talked a lot about this. People, you know, have meaning attached to their tattoos a lot of the time. It's something, it's a commemorative thing for a tragedy that's happened, or a memorial, or a great thing in their life. You know, they might celebrate by going to get a tattoo. I wonder if one of the differences for men is just that, one, they're not encouraged to be highly emotional. So that could be part of a mutedness and seeing kind of like a different increase in something like joy. And perhaps there's just a general state that men might find themselves in. And of course, this is a very niche population of people, right? You know, so I'm sort of generalizing within the population of men that'll go get tattoos, let's say. Maybe there's just a different kind of way the power of a tattoo is seen for men. And so that joy might be lessened. And then on the flip side of that, for a woman, you know, historically, like women still to this day, right? A woman with visible tattoos is looked at a certain way. And you know, I think it's changing. But people make assumptions about women with tattoos that aren't the same as the assumptions about men with tattoos, right? Mm-hmm. So I am also a person with tattoos. I've got pretty big tattoos, but they're all pretty hidden. So I did that purposely because I was in a professional world for a little while. But I love them. I love using them as art on my body to signify different things and meaningful things. But I've always been careful in my past to not have them too visible because of the judgments that I receive as a woman with tattoos in the spaces that I've been in. So I think when a woman makes a decision to go and get, you know, tattoos done, it is something empowering. I think you're right on that when you said there's something maybe that's more empowering for a woman to get this visible thing that's a little bit taboo still in our society and kind of make that statement like, hey, you know, I'm going to show this and I'm not afraid of it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid to show who I am. And that is something like in my mind that is quite empowering. And so I wonder how much of that has come into play just with the work that Stephanie's done to see that, you know, we were kind of like, let's see what happens. I mean, we kind of had this idea that, you know, emotional states will change and they'll probably be in a positive way based on, you know, the theory she had read and all the good background work she had done. But we were kind of like, oh, wow, look at this. Like when we actually got the data, we were like, oh, wow, look at this difference between men and women. That wasn't something we were originally thinking about. And so I would say just that element of empowerment, I imagine, might be stronger for women as being on the side of the oppressed, if I can say it that way, from the beginning of time. and then, sorry, I mean, I'm just, you know, I do some work in feminist stuff, too. So I'm a little bit strong on that stuff. And then for men, just not being encouraged to actually emote might be, again, part of the reasoning and why that was maybe more of a muted. And of course, we, you know, we're just speculating now. So as Stephanie was saying, like the next studies to run would be to kind of dig into some of this aspect. I think that would be really interesting.
And to kind of add on to that, something that I would like to include is that a lot of the women I tattoo, they kind of almost do it in a sense to reclaim their body. I do a lot of tattoos on women in which I probably cannot tell their story here, but being able to reclaim your body as a female, being told your whole life you need to protect yourself from this thing that could happen to you and it will probably be blamed on you, to come into a chair, be completely susceptible to what I put them through and to walk out happy, I think is also like a big deal. It's a big deal. So, I mean, maybe they're able to express that, you know, better. I'm not really sure. And I think Rachel would know more about that than I would, but it is something that I've been like, oh, like, yeah, this is a big deal.
Wow.
Oh, do you have any other questions?
I mean, I have a million questions, but we're at 15 minutes now, so.
We gotta give the room up.
It's 2:57.
Yeah.
So, no, I so appreciate, and I mean, like, normally we'd ask about methodology and stuff. I'm so happy you were able to kind of answer my question from your panel or from your presentation. No, so this is very fascinating. I almost want to ask you to like come back on and talk to us for like an hour.
I would love to. That would be awesome. No.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think set it up. Absolutely.
Let's do it. We'll reach out to you once we're done in RMPA and let's do this longer, because I'm so fascinated about it, because like I understand the reasons of like why people tattoo. I have a cousin who's a tattoo artist.
Perfect.
And like I am like so fascinated by that world, but like it's just, I know it's not for me, but there's just so many things. I mean, I know it could be for me.
Well, and but, there's so many sides to the world too, because we're only talking about client side. There's also artist side that I haven't even touched on, and I could tell you some trauma stories. Well,
then let's do that. Let's cut wonderful. Our interview off here. So thank you both for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
And we will pick up this conversation mm-hmm. at a later date.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks for calling me in, you guys. Happy to join in.
Yeah,
thank you.
Joel.
Okay. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.